We just started we are at the sixth verse of the Bhagavad Gita chapter 11. And this chapter is called the cosmic form, where Arjuna, having heard the glories of the Lord in the 10th chapter, the vibhutis, all the divine glories, where the Lord says, I am everywhere, I am the best in everything, I am the most powerful. Wherever you want to see me, you can see me in everything that is beautiful and pleasant and wonderful and so on. So he says, yes, I understand that you are in everything, but now I want to see everything in you. You are in everything, I have understood. But is everything in you? Because Arjuna has read the Upanishads, and he knows that there is one Brahman, a divine consciousness that extends not only beyond this space, but way beyond space, out into that, not only that, but all the heavens and the hells and all the 14 worlds are all in that one divine consciousness that they call as Brahman, or what Christ calls as the Father in heaven. And that consciousness does not have a shape or a form, but extends forever and ever, and was timeless, was there before the universe came into existence. That's why they say God alone was, and then he created the universe, and then ultimately the universe will merge into that. So that consciousness, and is not only there in space and heaven, but also there in every one of us as life. It is there in the space between us, and in every being, in all animals, plants, in the table, chair, everywhere that consciousness is there. But he says, I want to see you in that divine form where the whole world is in you. Now that's a very strange request that Arjuna makes. And the Lord, out of his compassion, shows him that cosmic form. And that is the essence of this 11th chapter. This chapter is full of beautiful poetry and descriptions. And Vyasa, who has written, composed this Bhagavad Gita, is at his top in this chapter, as far as the poetry and the language and the beauty of the expressions. And the way I read this chapter, whenever I do, is that you have to actually close your eyes and visualize this form of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna was just a manifestation of that divinity, just as Jesus was, and just as Buddha was, and Ram, and all of the other incarnations. But you can imagine his form, and in that form, the entire universe is there. You can see everything. All the stars are there. All the planets are there. You can see all the human beings. And not only that, but you can see all the hells and heavens. You can see all the goblins and ghosts and serpents and the divine angels. And then whatever is happening in the universe, actually everything is happening in that divine consciousness. You and I are floating in the ocean of God. That's what they say. But we don't know it. We don't experience it. So by understanding this chapter, you can see that we are all in that divine consciousness, and that we are all one. There is no distance. Because in that form, when he sees the whole universe, it is as if the universe has been compacted into that one form of Krishna. Maybe he was 6 feet high or whatever height he was. And in that form, when everything can be seen, so for that you need a Divya Drishti, or a divine vision, which Arjuna had by the grace of the Lord, which he will tell about, that I am going to give you that. You and I cannot see that. We cannot see the oneness. We cannot see that. But a saint like, you know, or a wise person like Swami Chinmayananda, or Shankaracharya, or Buddha, or Jesus, or Guru Nanak, or Mirabai, all these great saints who have experienced oneness with the Lord, they say first you look for him within. And once you find the Lord within as my life, as the consciousness, then it is very easy to see that Lord in all beings. And that's why saints have a spontaneous love for everybody, because they see they are all me. I am not separate from them. So they do not distinguish between my friends and my enemies and people belonging to my caste or my color or my race or in India we talk about region. He belongs to my state, so I love him. None of that. In the saint's eyes, they are all one. So that is the Divya Drishti. So we had done the first six verses. I won't go verse by verse because there is a lot of repetition and there is not much commentary. I would encourage everybody to buy that Gita set, you know, these green books. That in that Swamiji has done a word by word commentary of each verse. And when you read it, it will make a lot of sense. I'll try to go relatively quickly in this chapter, but focus on a few essential verses or important verses, which give us the essence of this chapter, because there is not too much commentary. It's mostly a description of this divine form, and it is repetitious, but he has described it each time in a different meter, in a different poetry, in a different way, so it's a gorgeous description. So the Lord in the 7th verse and the 8th verse of the Bhagavad Gita of the 11th chapter, he says, this entire universe I shall show you in my form. And you will see sacharacharam, all the moving and the non-moving. Everything you will see, not only the moving objects, but even the table and the chair and the pointer and the book, everything is in that one consciousness. And that one consciousness is in there. That's why they say you should respect all beings, even not only the living beings, but also your inanimate, you know, things like your shoes or your car or your table, a chair, books. They should be treated with respect because the Lord is there and everywhere. You should not. So he says, Natu mam shakyase drashtum, but you will not be able to see me as the divine until I give you divyam dadami te chakshuhu. Vashyame Yogam Aishwaram. I shall give you that Divya Drishti, that divine vision, by which you will see the entire universe in me. So Arjuna, even though he was not a realized saint, but by the Lord's grace, got this Divya Drishti. And in fact, just to kind of reset the scene, the battle was happening between the Pandavas who were good and the Kauravas who were evil, who were wicked. And the two armies were positioned, one on this side and one on this side, on the battle of Kurukshetra, which is a place near, very close to Delhi. And Krishna and Arjun, Krishna of course was the Lord and Arjun is the student. Here we can see them both, Krishna and Arjun. And they were standing in a chariot watching the two armies. The battle had not yet started, and Arjuna of course got confused about his duty, and Krishna is giving him the advice. And Dhritarashtra, who was the father of the Kauravas, who were evil, he was sitting in his palace, which was several miles away, I think more than 20 miles away, in Delhi itself, or near Delhi. And his minister, his name was Sanjay, and Sanjay was a very divine person, even though he worked for the evil king, he was a good person. And Ved Vyasa, who has composed this entire Mahabharata, and was an incarnation of Lord himself, or Vishnu, gave him the Divya Drishti, the divine vision. So sitting in the palace, 20 plus miles away, he could see what was happening in the battlefield. It's like TV. You know, nowadays, of course, we have TV where a war is going on in Iraq, and you can see the scenes because the TV is there, and CNN is broadcasting right to your room, into your living room. So those days they didn't have that, but he was given this vision where not only he could see, it's very interesting. One is you can see the what's happening in the battle, but CNN will show you or whatever. But Sanjay had the ability not only to see what was happening in the battlefield, but also to go into the minds of the people and see what they are thinking. What are they feeling? What are their emotions? So he had a very strange kind of divine Divya Drishti. So then when the Lord gives Arjuna this vision, then he sees the entire universe in that one Lord. And Sanjay sitting at home says he has the privilege of seeing this also. He's, in fact, at the end of the 18th chapter, he says, I'm so blessed that even though I was not there, I heard the entire dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. And also we are so blessed that we have these 18 chapters that have been composed by Ved Vyas, and then a master like Swami Chinmayananda who has done a commentary on it. So even though we were not there, and this happened thousands of years ago, but if you close your eyes, you can actually visualize the whole scene, that the horses are there and the battle drums are, you know, there ready, and the dust is, you know, rising in the battlefield, and the armies are ready to fight. And then there is this beautiful dialogue going on between the two. So it's a gorgeous, gorgeous chapter to visualize. So then in the Sanjay Uvacha, we'll do the ninth verse, if everybody can chant, because this has some significance. Sanjaya Uvacha Eva Muktvata To Rajan Mahayogeshwaro Harihi Darshayamasa Parthaya Paramam Rupam Aishwaram. So he says, Evam Uktva Tato Rajan. Then, O Rajan, O King, having said this, Mahayogeshwar Hari, Hari is the name of Krishna, who he calls him as Mahayogeshwar, the Lord of all the yogas. Here, yoga does not only mean exercises, but yoga means all the knowledge, all the sciences. Yoga in different places can mean different things depending on the context. So he says the Lord of all the sciences, and that is true. The Lord of all the knowledges, you know, whether it's physics or chemistry or mathematics or Hindi or Russian or German or English or quantum mechanics, everything is known to that one Lord and everything has emerged from that. So that's why he said to be the Lord of all the knowledges, the Lord of all the sciences. Darshaya Masa Parthaya. He then showed his Paramam Rupam Aishwaram. He showed his divine form to Partha, to Arjun. Now, why does he use two words, Rajan and Mahayogeshwara? So he calls Dhritarashtra as Rajan. Rajan means king, O king. And then he calls Krishna as the Lord of all the yogas, all the sciences. So what he's trying to tell the blind king, see, the king was blind, but he was blind not only physically blind, but he was blind with attachment for his children. Even though he knew that my children are doing the wrong thing, he still blindly supported them. So Sanjay wants to tell the king, Rajan, you are facing Mahayogeshwar Harihi. Arjuna, who is with the Pandavas, his charioteer is the Lord of all the yogas, the Lord of the universe. Even though your army is much bigger, the Kauravas' army was much bigger, had much more warriors, it was much more powerful, they had more weapons, they had everything. But he says, you know, you are facing the Lord of the universe, there is no way you can win. No matter how many weapons you bring, and that's the point, that when the Lord is with you, no matter what kind of problems come in life, what kind of obstacles come in life, if you just remember the Lord and do your work, it's not that suddenly your problems will miraculously disappear, but having the Lord in your heart and constantly remembering Him will give you strength, will give you strength to face the problems and also will diminish the problems. So no matter what kind of problem you are having, if you continue to do your duty and remember Him with love, remember Him without ego, then any of the world's problems can be solved. So that's why he says, O king, please remember whom you are facing. And then Sanjay describes the scene. He says, Aneka Vaktra Nayanam. He says, in that divine form, I see all the faces of all the beings. I see their eyes. I see the beautiful, you know, all the beings. And then I see their divine fragrance, you know, all that I can experience. So sitting there, he could smell the fragrance of that form. And then he says, I see all the weapons, because there are all the soldiers who are in the battlefield. Everybody, even that battlefield is in that form of the Lord. And he says, in that battlefield, I see all the divine weapons. And then he says, I see all this ashcharyam, all this wonderful thing. And it's like, he can't believe his eyes. You know, it's like a wonder. You know, like when you see something wonderful, your mouth falls open and your eyes. So that is the expression of Arjuna and of Sanjay. And then this is a very beautiful verse in verse number 12, where we can just chant together. Devi Surya Sahasrasya Bhavedyugapaduthita यदि भासदृशी सा स्याद् भासस्तस्य महात्मनः. This is actually one of my favorite verses in this chapter. There are a lot of very nice verses, but he says, Divi Surya Sahasrasya, just as when you watch the sun rising in the sky on the east and how you see the glory of that sun and the beautiful light and the pink, you know, color, and then it becomes yellow. And he says, how about if there were 1,000 suns rising at one time? What would be the glory of that, you know, that sunrise? There's not one, there were 1,000 suns. So he says, when I see this form of the Lord, it blinds my eyes, but it's not a blinding light, it's a very soothing light. And it's like there are 1,000 suns arising at one time. Bhave dyuga padutita and yadi bhasadrishi, and that kind of light is there. So the idea is that all the suns, all the stars, the moon, the planets, all of them get the light from the Lord. So when you see the stars in the sky, the thousands of stars, you remember that there is one Lord who is giving light to all of them. When the sun rises in the morning and you do your Gayatri mantra and you remember the sun Lord, you remember that there is one consciousness who has illumined that sun and given it the energy. That's why the sun is worshipped, because the sun is considered as God, Surya Devta, because it gives us the energy. And also gives us the energy. So he says that is the glory of this beautiful form. And then in the 14th chapter he says, then Arjuna, in the 14th verse he says, Vismaya Vishta Rishta Roma Dhananjaya. And then Arjuna, when he saw this form, first of all he got Vismaya. His eyes were, in wonder open. And then Rishta Roma, and then his hair stood on end. You know, when you see something that you can't understand or wondrous, your hair stands on end. And then when he saw that power and that glory of that form, Pranamya Shirasa Devam Kritanjali Bhashita, all he could do was just lie down and prostrate and bow his hands in obeisance, because he says this wondrous form that I am seeing, you know, what is that? I mean, he couldn't understand, he couldn't explain it. I mean, his mind could not comprehend it. So all he could do was, oh Lord, thank you, all Lord. He just bowed down and his hair was standing on end. And then Arjuna then starts speaking. Now he describes this form. First, Krishna tells him what you are going to see. Then Sanjay says what I am seeing. And now Arjuna says what I am seeing. He says, Paraspashyami devans tava deva deve Sarvans tata bhuta vishesha sanghan. And he says, I see all the beings of the universe, all of them, starting from the heavens, the creator, Brahmaji. Then I see all the rishis of this earth. I see all the beings. And I see the lower beings also. I see the patal. I see the snakes. And I see the goblins and the demons. Everything I see in that. The idea being that this whole universe is in that one form. All kinds of hands I see different eyes, I see different, and then I see this light, which is so powerful. He says this light is so powerful that it is almost blinding, but not really, because it at the same time, even though it's a very powerful light, it's very soothing. It makes my mind full of, and then he describes the four hands of, you know, because Krishna was an incarnation of Vishnu, who is described as Kiritinam Gadinam Chakrinancha. And he says, I see your form, that beautiful form with four hands, and in that form I see the entire universe. And then the 18th verse, the 18th verse we'll chant, and this will be our discussion today, we'll end here, where he talks about the Lord glories. And this is one of the very, very, very powerful verse which describes who the Lord is. Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvam asya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvam avyaya shashvata dharma gopta. sanatanastvam purusho mato me. So he has described various qualities of the Lord. There are eight, actually seven in this verse and the eighth one in the next verse, which is a very beautiful description of who this God is, Brahman. So he says, Tvam Aksharam, you are indestructible. And that is true. God is the source and support, and all changes are happening in him, but the Lord himself is not destroyed. Like in me, there is this Brahman, this consciousness, which is God's presence. Now my body is changing, my mind is changing, my intelligence is changing, my desires are changing. The world of objects, emotions and thoughts, everything, the whole universe is changing, but that consciousness remains the same. When I was a child, it was there. When I was a young, when I become a middle age, I become old, and even when I die and leave this body, this consciousness that is in me is Aksharam. It is indestructible. Like mud, you know, mud can become into various parts, you know, different small pot and a big pot and a green pot. But when the pot is created, it created out of mud and it is supported by mud. And then when the pot is destroyed, it merges back into the mud. But nothing happens to the mud. The mud doesn't born and get died. You know, mud is not born and died when the pot is born and the pot dies, because the pot is just a creation of the mud. So similarly, we are all created out of that infinite consciousness, that Brahman, the Lord of the universe. And as we are born and then when we die, nothing happens to that consciousness. And that's what Krishna tells Arjuna in the second chapter. That the soul, the consciousness, Atma, within you, that consciousness never dies. Water cannot wet it, fire cannot burn it, knives cannot cut it. So that means that nothing can destroy that consciousness, and that is what you really are. That is the essence of this Bhagavad Gita and of the Upanishads, that we are all that divine consciousness. And nothing can happen to us, no matter what kind of physical problems I have. Yes, my body will suffer. My mind may go through joys and sorrows. Intellectually, I may have problems and, you know, success and failure. But if I remain, if I say I am this body, I am Anil or Diana or Anamika, then yes, then I will suffer. But if I say I am the consciousness and I am occupying this body called Manohara or called Anil or whatever the name that has been given to me, then nothing is happening to me. Yeah, my body is deteriorating, but I am fine because I am that consciousness. So that is what they say, that all the time, and in our meditation on Thursday evenings, that is what we teach, that we are all that consciousness. All the time stay with that understanding that I am that Aksharam, I am that indestructible consciousness. And even when this body goes, even when I drop this body, nothing happens to me. And when that happens to a person, then that person goes beyond death. Because death cannot, how can the death affect you? Right now we are so afraid, you know, death, oh, it's so bad. Or not only our death, but some near and dear person dies. You know, you feel bad, obviously. We're not saying that if your mother or father or some close person, friend or somebody passes away, it's not that you don't feel sorrowful. But if you have this knowledge that everything is that one consciousness and all birth and death are just like a play, like in a play, characters come. And then, you know, especially these soap operas which go on for years. Now in Hindi also they have these and they have them in English. And they go on for years and then characters will appear and then after a year or two that woman's contract is expired. So they kill her, you know. She died or she moved away, you know, and she won't come back. She moved to America or something like that. So the characters come and go based on their need for the part. You know, the writer has written a script and the director has directed. And so they will use appropriate actors and actresses to play the part. And when it's time for them to go, they say, okay, you know, your time is up. Don't come from next Tuesday. You know, don't come back. So similarly, in this world, we are all been appointed, given parts by the divine director who has written the script. And the part that has been given to us is the part that we deserve. It's not that he sat down and wrote, okay, you know, this person, I'm going to give him a part and put him as in Rockefeller's house, make him rich. And then this guy, I'll make him poor and put him in Africa. Every part that we have obtained from him is because of our own karmas and our own desires, our own vasanas and our own actions. So we have designed the script for our life. He does not write the script, even though they say, oh, honi ko jo manjoor hai, you know, Bhagwan ne jo kiya, whatever the Lord does, you know, I accept it. That is good. But the better is to understand that I wrote my own script. I planned my own life by my past actions. So there is nobody to be held responsible if things are not going well. If things are not going well with my husband or my children or my job or my wife or my parents or my children, I am responsible. And so that understanding comes when you understand that everything is happening in that divine and this world is just like a play. And then it says highest thing to be known. It is the highest thing to be known. There is the way to know it is through love. Love is the best way, because when you love somebody or when you love something, you want to know it. And talking about love, actually I was listening to it's a Hindi film song, and some of you may have heard it. The beauty about love songs is that usually love song is sung by the girl to the beloved or the person to his beloved. But when you transfer them to that Lord, that song becomes a prayer. And I try to do that whenever. And this, my mother actually told me about this particular song. A lot of you may have heard it. It's called Aapki Nazaron Ne Samjha Pyar Ke Kabil Mujhe. But the lyrics are so beautiful, because what she says is that, oh, here, of course, she's telling her beloved, but here you can tell the Lord, oh Lord, I am so grateful that you have considered me worthy of your love. Aapki nazaron ne samjha pyar ke kabil mujhe. You have considered me worthy of your love. Otherwise, how many people are there in this world, but how many of them have this privilege of listening to the Bhagavad Gita or remembering the Lord or loving the Lord or how many people go to the church or temple? Not that many. There are very few if you look at the entire population. So he says that I have found my goal. Mil gayi manzil mujhe. I have found my goal, O Lord, and that is you. Then I don't need anybody else. I can stop searching. Dil ki hai dhadkan thehar ja. He says, oh, my heart, stop searching now. You have already found. You know, like when we're looking for a boy, and you know, when you're young and you look and different and you say, this one is no good, this one is. You find one that you love, and then, you know, you get married, and then of course that's a different drama altogether. So similarly, she says, I have already found, I don't need to search anymore. I have found that Lord who is the greatest wealth of all the wealths. And she says, I am so grateful because mil gaya sahil mujhe. He says, in this journey of life, you know, they describe the life as a journey over the ocean, the boat. And your boat, you know, has strong waves and can get submerged. But if you have a good boatman who can guide your boat safely, then you can reach the other shore. So he says, Lord, meri kashti tumhare haath mein. You are the boatman and you take me. Like Arjuna also had told Krishna, you are my charioteer. You drive my chariot and I'm sure to win. So they say, give your life to him and say, Lord, whatever you have decided, I will cheerfully bear it. And you are the doer. Then what happens is the ego goes away. Otherwise we have this arrogance. I am such a wonderful person. I have done so much, and you know, people don't appreciate. And you know, I am the only one. If I was not there, this thing would not have happened. You know, we have all these little egos. But when you say the Lord is the doer, you know, you are the charioteer, you are my boatman, just take me across. Then you develop surrender, you develop love. And then you get a true joy. She says, Do jahan ki aaj khushiyan ho gayi hasil mujhe. I actually memorized that song. It's so beautiful. She says, all the joys of the earth and the heavens, all I have got today because I found you. So that is the beauty of, you know, these poets are amazing how they can write all these things. So that's what they say. This is the highest thing to be known. because we go around wanting to know this and know that, and I want to know physics and I want to know German, and then I want to know, you know, what's happening in my neighbor's house, and I want to know what is happening in, and then I'm on the internet and I'm wanting to know what is happening in Algeria. And why, I mean, yeah, you need to know a little bit about the news, but why just spend your whole day watching TV and these guys, you know, all day, Fox News and CNN, they keep showing you the same thing again and again, headline news and all. And people spend so much time on the internet and just surfing the net and wasting the time. They say, spend your time knowing him. That's the highest thing to be known. Just sit down instead of sitting on the computer, pick up a book and read. Or listen, you know, today we have Swamiji coming in the evening, and listen to Mahatmas and listen to good people and learn. And that is the only thing that you need to know. Everything else, yes, we need to have a career. I'm not saying that you don't need to know, and you know, you need, if you have a job or a profession or if you're a student, you have to study. But there comes a time when you say, okay, enough is enough. You know, bahut pad liya. Now let me read about the Lord. Let me know about him. So that is why he says, Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam. You are the highest thing to be known. And of course, there are a lot more. We don't have time today. Because Arjuna had many characteristics. He was the son of Partha, Prithu. His mother was, you know, Pritha. So he calls him Partha. Then he was Dhananjaya, then he was Gudakesh, means he had control over sleep. And he was, you know, he had the bow and arrow, he was a great warrior. So just to put different names and also to different names, they fit him in different places. Where he's acting as an ignorant person, Swami Chinmayananda says, then he calls him as Partha, the son of mud, means you're a muddy-headed fool. That means he doesn't understand. But then where he says you are the, you know, Kuru, you are from the family of Kurus, you are from this great lineage, then he, or in other places he uses Arjuna. Arjuna also means the straight one, the one who was not crooked, who didn't have any, that's why Arjuna saw the Lord, because to see the Lord, you have to be straight. You can't be crooked, you can't have, be dishonest. And Arjuna, the what he was, you could see it on his face, and that was his mind. He was a great person. Even though he was a wonderful warrior, but he was a very beautiful human being inside. Very honest, very straightforward, very nice. And he had great faith in the Lord. And so different names mean different things. Like Arjuna means the straight one. And so like that. And also what he tells in another place, he calls him a great warrior. So by, he says you are a great warrior means you have conquered the entire world. You are so powerful. You can defeat the whole armies. But you have not conquered your own mind. See, our biggest battle is with our mind. You know, we may do very well in the world. You are very successful. Like, who was that? Howard Hughes. He was a multi-billionaire. He had built aircrafts and he was so rich and so powerful. I mean, he could, you know, even change presidents. That much money and power he had. But he had no power over his mind. He ended up, you know, living in the penthouse suite and died of dehydration and malnutrition. Because he wouldn't trust anybody to feed him. He thought they were all poisoning me. And so he lost the battle with his mind, even though he conquered the whole world. So the idea being that we have to conquer the mind does not mean like a war, but that you have to have control over your mind, over your emotions. Most of us let our minds run us. And that's why we people go into depression and psychiatric problems, and then they are taking psych meds and all. Why? Because their mind has become so powerful that they are not able to control their thoughts. So they say that you are the one who is giving energy to your thoughts. Now, the thought that is arising, that what is the next word I'm going to speak, comes from within. So if I am giving energy to my thoughts, how can I let my thoughts become more powerful? And why am I not? So different names mean different things, and same thing for Krishna. Also, I think to make it more poetic and to make it more interesting and more fun. It's a literary method, yes. But also, like Hari means the one who steals everything. Hari means the one who steals our ignorance, our, you know, sorrows, like that. So different names mean, and then Keshava means the one who has curly hair, because Krishna had very curly hair. with long curly hair. Also, Keshava also means the Lord of the senses. Because in me, all my senses in my body, my eyes, ears, nose, are controlled by that one Lord. So that each name of Krishna also has specific meaning. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha. Hari Om.